You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Sam Norris, Craig Forsyth and Seb Sanders in the studio. Very busy Saturday to look forward to as well. Victoria Cup Day at Ascot, that Heritage Handicap takes centre stage there. We've also got good racing at Lingfield and Haydock. The card at Lingfield includes an Oaks trial and a Derby trial. Haydock's a mixed card, including the Swinton Hurdle. And we've also got Hexham and Nottingham in the afternoon. Thirsk and Warwick in the evening, and so much racing. Now I ran out of time on the jingle there.
Good podcast, just describing what's coming up. And yeah. That's it, it's finished now.
Yeah, we'll put that out. It's 25 minutes just to describe what's coming up. Real good day of racing to look forward to follow on from the Chester May meeting. We'll dissect a little bit of Friday's action there as well. And as you heard, Andrew Mount joining me, Mark Walton, in the studio.
Did I jump in too early then?
You did. You jumped the gun.
Shall I stop doing that?
Are you well, Andrew?
Yes, good, thank you. Yep. Yeah. Day two of two. And it's been entertaining and informative.
good. That's all you want in life, isn't it? Yeah. Entertaining and informative. That'll work. Just a look back at some of the action from Friday. One of the big races on the card was the D Stakes, a listed race over a mile and a quarter, which is obviously a Derby trial. Cliffs of Moher was the hot favourite going into the race, 4-5 favourite. Beat Bay of Poets and Max Zorin there with a. I thought it was a decent enough performance because. The vibes were that he wasn't going to be 100% for the race. He was niggled early on throughout the race and still got the job done. We've unchanged him as well for the Derby at 7-1. Standout price here at William Hill at 7-1. So if you want to back Cliffs of Moher, if that did impress you enough to think he's got a chance in the Derby, then take the 7-1 on offer at williamhill.com there. What were your thoughts of his performance?
Yeah, I was quite impressed as well because I was looking forward to seeing this one for the first time because race form gave him a massive speed figure when winning a Leopardstown Maiden by 5.5 lengths from a better fancied stablemate last time. And as Ken said in the paddock, he was sort of warm beforehand, often a trait of Galileo's, but perhaps that was also because there was a bit of baggage there and a bit left to work on, as you suggested. And I thought he showed a really good attitude. And off the bridle from some way out, but responded well. And it hasn't thrown up a Derby winner for a few years. Chris Kinn in 2003 was the last one.
Yeah.
Oath in 1999 was another. But I certainly wouldn't put you off the each way prospects of Cliffs of Moher for the Derby. And of course, that was only his third run. So
yeah.
Still learning the game, and there should be plenty more to come.
I always not always, but I think it's a good thing as well. To experience Chester for a young horse that's inexperienced, because you're on the turn, you don't always get the best looking running, and people say you can forgive Chester form, but I also think if you've won at Chester when things probably haven't quite gone ideally for you, then it shows you're a good horse.
Yes, indeed, and holds you in good stead for Epsom as well.
Yes.
Although obviously it's not undulating like Epsom is, it's on the turn all the way round. So I think experience at Chester could be put to good use there next month.
Hmm. What about in behind the winner? Bay of Poets, I thought, ran well. The Sir Michael Stout runner also caught my eye in the closing stage.
Yeah,
well.
I think the one to the other one to take from the race, other than the winner, has got to be Mirage Dancer, who was keen in rear and pushed along, but flew at the finish. And one or two people noticed, including Seb Sanders, who's on the air with me on Friday, that 50 yards after the line, Mirage Dancer was in front.
Mm.
So obviously it doesn't count then, but sorry if you backed that one each way like one of our listeners did, but certainly a promising run. That was only his second career outing, having won on his debut at Doncaster last back end, and I think Mirage Dancer will be winning some decent races this season.
Mm. One of the other big races on the card was the Ormond Stakes, a Group 3 over a mile and 5.5 furlongs. It looked a real warm renewal of the race as well. Western Hymn beating US Army Ranger and Duretto. Western Hymn was the price-wise horse, shortened quite significantly. Good ride from Frankie Dettori as well. I don't think US Army Ranger's lost much in defeat either as well from that draw.
Yeah, I mean, Western Hymn's been very consistent, but he's been struggling to win until they put a visor on at Kempton at the end of last year. And so he won, you know, a listed race as the 5-4 favourite. But I still thought he perhaps wasn't the same horse since a bout of colic a couple of summers ago. But yeah, the switch of headgear again, this time to cheek pieces, seemed to keep him interested. And under a good ride from Frankie Dettori, he's just got the better of US Army Ranger on the line. Mm. The US Army Ranger is another one who's got sort of far more seconds and thirds in his form than wins. But I don't think he did anything wrong in particular. Broke well from a wide draw, sat in second place, tracked the pace. But, you know, that was now his sixth consecutive defeat and four of those when starting as favourite.
Mm.
So perhaps he's one to back each way at bigger prices, you know, when he takes on better company.
Yeah. It's to be seen whether he actually get bigger prices about him. He's always very short in the market, isn't he? Being a Derby runner-up and trained by Aidan O'Brien and such. I napped Duretto, and for a little moment I thought I might have a chance. But
yeah, that was Ken's pick as well on the paddock. He put that one up each way and was denied a clear run at a crucial stage. Kept on really well, beaten three quarters of length into third. And yeah, another one who will surely be winning soon.
Mm.
I think that was his first run of the season as well, wasn't it? Yeah, not seen since winning at Newbury back in October. And will no doubt come on for that.
Anything else stand out to you at Chester on Friday?
I like the sprint winner, Copper Knight, for Tim Easterby. That was very impressive. Had been given a good speed figure when second by three quarters of a length at Ripon on seasonal and stable debut last time out. And it looks as though he'll be winning again.
Mm. All right, that's Chester on Friday then. We will dwell no longer on that and we will move on to a very busy Saturday of action. We'll get Andrew's thoughts in the best of the racing on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, then we're going to look at some of the trials at Lingfield. We're going to look at the Swinton Hurdle and the big race at Ascot, the Victoria Cup. We'll go through these in chronological order. So our first race is the 155 at Lingfield, which is the Oaks Trial Filly Stakes, a listed race over the extended mile and 3 furlongs. Market headed by The Sky Is Blazing at 11-10, Pocketful of Dreams 9-4, 92 Cameron, Hartford Dancer 14s and 16s bar those. The Sky Is Blazing has quite a reputation already. Cost quite a lot of money, well related as well, and made a winning debut when we saw her 43 days ago. Do you think she can live up to that reputation?
Very possibly. She was a 240,000 guineas purchase. But despite that, she didn't start as favourite for that run at Newcastle at the end of March. And she was a 6-4 shot. There was plenty of money for Multicultural from the James Tate yard. And runners from that yard often do well second time out. And that one was well back to build on a good fourth at Newmarket first time out. But The Sky Is Blazing, despite missing the break and running green, put that one to the sword and won by 4 lengths, with a further 2.5 lengths back to the third. So, very pleasing performance. And, of course, Willie Haggis has got a good record in this race. I think he's had 3 runners recently, and that includes 2 winners. He took this with Toujours L'Amour at 15-2 a couple of years ago, and back in 2012, Vow was the 11-10 favourite when landing this. So, obvious chance here for The Sky Is Blazing.
You mentioned previous winners of the race. Seventh Heaven, trained by Aidan O'Brien, won this race last year. She obviously went on to win the Irish Oaks. What do you make a pocket full of dreams for him in this?
One's a lot more experienced than her main market rival. Was having a fourth career outing when second in a listed race at Navan last time out. And, wears headgear, usually hooded. I think I'd just prefer the potential of the Willie Haggis runner over Aidan O'Brien's pocket full of dreams here. I think the big danger to the favourite could be Camerone or Camerone, the one horse trained by Rafe Beckett. He's another trainer with a good record in this race. I think it's 3 winners, 3 places from 11 runners in recent years. So this only won at Brighton last time out, but I wouldn't be surprised to see her go closer.
Okay, do you take a chance on her then, or do you side with the favourite?
I'm going to side with the favourite, I wouldn't put you off perhaps backing Camerone without the favourite or in a forecast to finish second to that one.
All right, The Sky's Blazing, the main pick then. Keep an eye on Camerone or Cameron, however you want to pronounce that one. Let's move on to the 2:30 at Lingfield next. This is the Derby Trial Stakes, a listed race over a mile and 3.5 furlongs. And the market headed by Sir John Lavery at 11-10, 9-2 for Tartini. That one's weak in the market, 7-2 out to 9-2 at the time of recording this. Best Solution is 9-1, as is Sophia's Rock and Zamfir, and it's 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Very lopsided market for this one. All the money seemingly in favour of Aidan O'Brien's Sir John Lavery. Aidan O'Brien's dominated the Derby trials to date, and this fella was a very impressive winner last time we saw him.
Yeah, that's right. And as you say, Aidan O'Brien has won this 4 times in the last 10 years, and Sir John Lavery was a 7-length winner at Goorham Park last time out. Was, you know, long odds on favourite that day. Started at 8-13 on ground described as soft to heavy. So the recent rain will have boosted this one's chance. But I think at a shortage price, I'd rather take him on and find something each way. And the one that interests me is Mark Johnson's Sophia's Rock, ridden by a great front-running jockey in Richard Kingscote. You know, I'll put him up there with Joe Fanning in terms of getting the best out of front-running jockeys. This one's won 2 of his last 3. Including second time out this season at Leicester on his latest outing, winning by no less than 10 lengths under Ryan Moore, led after 1 furlong, soon clear. You know, seems to handle any going, won on officially soft ground at Redcar last autumn. And I think if this one's afforded an easy lead, which is possible, then at 9-1 or thereabouts, an each way bet on Sophia's Rock could pay dividends.
Yeah, I remember watching Sophia's Rock win that race in London, waiting to go to Wembley ahead of the Anthony Joshua fight, and they gave Ryan Moore far too much rope out in front. They just let him do his own thing, set his own fractions, and Sophia's Rock never came back to them. So easy lead seems to be well, the thing that you'd be hoping for then, I suppose.
Definitely. And we should also mention Zamfir for Zamfir, even for Charlie Appleby, ridden by William Buick. This one was a winner on debut also at Leicester, went 7-2 under William Buick, stepping up in trip here, but the odds newcomers often improve for the run, and this one would be no forlorn hope either.
But the pick then is Sophia's Rock.
Sophia's Rock
without
each
the favourite, would you do, or just each way?
Just each way.
Moving on to the bit of jumping next. The 3.10 at Haydock, the Swinton Handicap Hurdle, 2 miles the trip for this Grade 3, and the market headed by Peace and Co and John Constable at this point, 7-1. Joint favourites at the time of recording. Zubair was originally 7-1, now nudged out to 8. 8-1 for Optimus Prime, 9-1 Multiculture, 14s into 11s for Court Minstrel, London Prize 12-1, 14s or bigger for the rest. There are easier puzzles to solve than this.
Oh yeah, this is a tricky one. It's a really good race though, and one thing to do in this race is often to look for what Evan Williams is running, because he's had 2 winners, 3 places from 10 runners in recent years. He's got Court Minstrel, one of the joint top weights. He's a 10-year-old, so no horse older than 7, I think, has won this in recent years. But he ran a really nice race at Cheltenham last time out in the county hurdle behind Arctic Fire, finishing 10th, but was beaten by under 5 lengths. So I think Court Minstrel is going to go well despite the weight and despite the age barrier. But the one I really like here at a bigger price is Song Light for Seamus Mullins. Now, this one ran at Plumpton last time out, beaten 9 lengths into 2nd, but that doesn't tell the whole story. That was Plumpton's richest ever handicap hurdle, and probably hit the front too soon in the first time cheap pieces. Described as held up early, joined leaders 4th, led immediately after 3 hours, 3 out, and kicked for home. And I think he just did a little bit too much too soon and got overhauled by the favourite, that Paul Nicholls trained Tommy Silver. And Songlight seems to go really well at this time of year. He's had 4 runs in May previously, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 1st. Now, the second place came on his hurdles debut when he needed the experience, and the 3rd came in this race 2 years ago. So I think at the right end of the weights, the right age to fit the stats, Daniel Sansom, £7 claimer, has ridden a winner recently. I think Songlight's going to give us a run for our money at 16-1. They'll also give a quick mention to Great Fighter, another 16-1 shot. This one trained by Jim Goldie has improved since Visored of late, winning 2 from 2 in the headgear, and got a good speed figure when scoring at Perth last time out. But it's Songlight for me over Great Fighter and Court Minstrel.
Songlight and the selection, good stats there. Interesting little piece in the race. And moving on to the 4 o'clock at Ascot next, the big race on their card, the Victoria Cup, a heritage handicap over 7 furlongs, 27 runners down the 7 furlong straight. It's going to be a bit of a cavalry charge, isn't it, this race? And the market headed by Fastnet Tempest at the time recording this at 6-1. 12-1 for Remarkable, 12-1 above the rest, and George William, the Warrior, another one at 12-1 as well. 14s for Donica, Cadrici, Tori and Start, and it's 16-1 bar those. We've only mentioned a few of those there, obviously. Big prices for some of these runners. And is it a pin-sticking job? Do you have a weigh-in for us here?
Yeah, I'm going to use the draw to try and narrow the field here. The last three winners were drawn 29, 23 and 25. And since they reversed the draw at Ascot in 2011, in 7 furlong handicaps, had you bet every horse drawn in stall 21 or higher, you'd have won 11 times for 119 bets and made a profit of £108 to a £1 stake at SP.
Mm.
And so there's some interesting ones drawn high here. And those include Bossy Guest, who ran well against the pace bias at Newbury last time. That was coming out of stall 24. And Professor from stall 21. He's got some really good course form to his name. I think he's had three runs here over 6 or 7 furlongs. First, second, and then staying on to be beaten about four lengths. But the one I'm going to put up at, I think it's 33-1 at the moment, is Shady McCoy. This one's coming out of stall 6, Jimmy Quinn riding for Ian Williams. And he was well held last time out, but that was his first run of the season. That was over the extended mile at Nottingham. He was ridden patiently, never the ideal running style for that particular venue. He's got a good record second time out. He's won second time in two of the last three seasons. And he's also returning to his optimum 7 furlong trip. Now, he's only had 9 runs in his life over 7 furlongs in handicap company on turf. He won 4 of those and finished second on a further 3 occasions. And when he was beaten, it was generally because of a bad draw. So I can see Shady McCoy bouncing back and running a massive race at a huge price here.
Yeah, he can do slightly better than 33s as well. 40-1, we've got him at the moment, which is delightful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I was at Glorious Goodwood last year when this one won. It was bookmaking. And he's won at 14-1, but he was 20-1 down to that price, and the trainer had a big each-way bet. And,
right.
It was a horse I've paid close attention to ever since.
Mm. Keep an eye on and see if there's a shortening on the day, then see if the trainer's backed it again. Good stuff, Andrew. Let's have a little bit of a quick summary before you go, then, if you'll just confirm your selections for us for Saturday.
Yeah, certainly. We're starting off with the Oaks trial at Lingfield, the 155, where I'm going for the favourite, The Sky is Blazing, with Cameroon, number one, The Danger for Rafe Beckett. 2:30 at Lingfield. This time it's the Derby trial. I'm going to take on the favourite, Sir John Lavery, with an each-way play on Mark Johnson's Sophia's Rock in the hope that that one's allowed an easy lead. Then we're going to Haydock for a typically competitive Swinton handicap hurdle. Quite keen on Song Light. He's got a good record at this time of year. A 16-1 shot trained by Seamus Mullins. And then finally, we're off to Ascot for the cavalry charge that is the Victoria Cup. I'm hoping high draws are favoured, and the one I'm very keen on around about the 40-1 mark is Shady McCoy.
Superb. Some nice big prices in there. Thank you very much, Andrew. Good luck, and enjoy on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
There you go, the thoughts of Andrew Mount on Saturday's racing then. Plenty to get stuck into, and it's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:35 PM. Sam Norris, Craig Forsyth and Seb Sanders, the team in the studio for the meetings at Ascot, Lingfield, Haydock, Hexham and Nottingham in the afternoon, and it's Thirsk and Warwick in the evening. And just a note as well, you can watch the previews from Sir Anthony McCoy at williamhill.com. Click on the horse racing pages there, you'll find them on the right hand side, or at William Hill on Twitter. So do check those out as well. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Saturday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.